It's always fun to talk to Dr. Raymond Keller. He is a very, very special person in this field of the paranormal. I guess we can say that. But more than that, it's really the field of off-planet intelligence, our solar system, what we don't know about it, what's obviously being kept secret from us, and especially the planet Venus. And this goes back to the story of Valiant Thor, an E.T. from Venus who stayed in the Pentagon for several years. Howard Menger's farm meeting, that all those things are flooding back now. They always do. I keep them filed. And Dr. Ray Keller is really an authority on some fascinating parts of modern American history in that regard. Hello, Ray, and welcome back.
Hello, Jeff. It's a privilege to be on your program, as always.
Well, my pleasure all the way. You're busy. What are you doing? Now, I did see a story some weeks ago, not too many, about Venus. And it was very intriguing. I forget what it was. I think somebody was sending another satellite there. And if all of you out there listening will remember that of all the planets in our solar system, Venus, our sister, gets barely a mention. Barely a mention. You never hear anything about it, except it's got 600 or 800 degrees Fahrenheit on the surface and nobody could possibly ever survive there. No one thinks about underground. I mean, you go down underground 10 feet and it doesn't matter how hot it is on the surface. So that's where Valiant Thor and others, some of his friends, we're always said to have come from and visit here. What have you been doing? And then I've got some questions about that issue of Venus. Go ahead.
Yes, I've been following up on the Valiant Thor case and the life and times of Dr. Frankie Stranges, and I've divided his life up into four categories. The first being his involvement as a minister of the gospel. The second one would be how he became interested in UFOs. The third would be his evolution as a ufologist and a contactee, coming to know Valiant Thor, and then later establishing NYCUFO, and then by 1987, his inner circle. In Van Nuys, California, and all the amazing contacts and information that came from all the members of that inner circle.
Sure. Interesting. What kind of research have you been doing? What's new in the case? What have you dug up? This goes back a while now. So what's new?
Yes. Organization that he founded, the National Investigations Committee on Unidentified Flying Objects, was established in 1967. That's the same year that I began publishing the Flying Saucer Report in Bedford, Ohio, and began exchanging publications with him, and using that and then other information and booklets and so forth from other members of the inner circle that have passed them on to me. I'm compiling this this archive, and I've given you a copy of it. It's so far I'm up to part 18 of 92 pages, so I think your listeners are going to be very, very pleased to see some of this information that's been kept in the dark for so long, and now it's coming to the light. Some of it's never been published before, like minutes from the inner circle and so forth.
Right, right. What do we look at in terms of the nefarious people who have been keeping all this under wraps for so long? Who are they? Just the global elite?
Yes, I would say that. They're directing a silence group. It's what most of the contactees, beginning in the mid-1950s, called it. George Adamski and Howard Menger, Gray Barker, of course, the three men in black, and so forth. So it's a real suppression that's out there, and it's well documented. And there's been pressure applied to all these contactees as they've tried to bring this information to the public. Tomorrow, in fact, I'll be in Richwood, West Virginia, talking about the case of Woody Derenberger, which also goes back to 1967.
That's a good case. We've talked about that a little bit, and we can get back into it. People are so overwhelmed with news and information now, very few remember. That's a very good story, Woody's. So.
Oh, yes, and his life was ruined by all the ridicule and pressure put on him, and acts taken against him, some by UFO groups that were supposedly objective, but were preset to just take this guy down, among others.
There was some serious infighting in the community, and I guess there always is. People don't get along.
Yes, a lot of egos in there, but then there are also secret agendas that are being carried out to suppress that information.
Always. Okay, anything new on the planet Venus? Has our government released anything that is intriguing that we should hear about?
Oh, yes. The recent probe that took pictures of the side that's supposed to be completely dark, it's all lit up.
Wait a minute now. The side that's supposed to be dark, is this like the moon? There's always a dark side to it? No, Venus rotates.
Yes, Venus does rotate. It does rotate very slowly, but it does rotate. And what they call the Parker probe. It was supposed to be set to the sun, so it was making five orbits of Venus, and each time it would orbit, it would get this gravitational assist and then go on to the sun. But on one of the orbits, it was supposed to be the night side of Venus. It was supposed to be nighttime, but it was all lit up.
Now, when you say lit up, are you describing city lights?
Well, it was in the atmosphere, and in my Venus books, I've written about various forms of bioluminescent insects that swarm and multiply in the atmosphere.
All right. Was it so bright that it lit up the ground underneath it, or was this just light in the atmosphere moving around?
This was moving lights in the atmosphere, covering the whole side that was supposed to be dark.
And we have pictures of this?
Yes, there's pictures of it, and
Give us your site URL. You must have them on your site.
They're on the phantomsandmonsters.com. I write a weekly column in there.
Okay, so wait a minute. Now I get it. This is all new to me. Phantoms and monsters.com. I don't know
this
site either.
It's Lon Strickler's site out of McSherrystown, Pennsylvania.
All right. What are they selling here? I got to try this again. So what else? What else? Who sent this probe up there, and who got the pictures?
This was sent by NASA, and it was published in some scientific journals, and they couldn't explain it. They were taking all kinds of.
I bet they couldn't. Yeah.
Yeah, they couldn't explain it, and they thought it was an unusual phenomena, some kind of chemical reaction. But over in the British Isles, of course, the Astronomical Society there had reported the discovery of through spectrography of phosphanes in the Venusian atmosphere, and these are created. These could only be created by life forms. So there's a definite ecosystem in the atmosphere, and plenty of proof of it with the photos and the studies in England. And that's just one example of a cover up of life on Venus.
What do you think the life on Venus at this point in time encompasses? Humanoids, they look just like us. In fact, they look better than us. It's one of those things where they look like movie stars. They're there, but they're here. They go back and forth probably like we take a taxi cab, but quicker. They're here.
Oh, yeah.
I think that they're here all the time. Do you?
Oh, yes, I certainly do. They're humanoid, and they do pass among us unnoticed. Their skin and hair color varies as ours does. And, of course, they come from not just Venus, but other planets in our solar system and beyond. There's a confederation consisting of 601 planets from 51 solar systems. And their height varies from 3 to 10 feet, depending on their environmental or their racial background. And they actually look quite youthful, and they have lifespans that extend into several hundreds of years.
Hmm.
And we've known about them for millennia. They've been written about by Rumi, Emanuel Swedenborg, Dante, others. Rumi said there were about 4,000 angels on the earth at any one given time. And in the Bible, angels and aliens, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3 says that we should always be kind to one another, for know ye not that we entertain angels unawares.
Unawares. All right, I'm on Phantoms, P-H-A-N-T-O-M-S, phantomsandmonsters.com. Where do I go to find your...
Oh, okay. There is literally dozens and dozens of... articles by me going back for years on that site.
Yeah. Okay,
usually
what about
publish one every week.
I want to see the lights, the picture of the lights in the atmosphere of Venus. Is that available here?
Oh, yes. I would have to go into my files to dig that up.
All right. Well, at the bottom of the hour, we'll take a little break, and maybe you can find that for us, and I can send everybody there. That'd be fun.
Okay.
I want to see this. Yeah. All right. So, the latest NASA probe to Venus, what did it produce? Were there any hints in there that there's more to Venus than meets the telescopic eye?
Oh, yes, yes.
What did they say?
They've discovered that the polar regions of Venus are actually very cold. There's like a refrigeration system on the planet, I guess you could call it that. There
well,
are
yeah,
cyclonic
sure.
storms over the North and South Pole that suck all the heat out and eject it into space. And so it has its own cooling system. And it's there's just so many different things about the planet. The gases are the heavier gases of course are on the lower stratifications like oxygen and so forth, and it's supposed to have these pressures of 90 times greater than the Earth, but like the Earth, itself, there's various altitudes and so forth where the pressure varies and differs. At the bottom of the ocean on Earth, it's the equivalent to 100 atmospheres. And the early Mariner probes, beginning with Mariner 2, the first one to do a flyby of Venus in 1962, showed that only equivalent of 8 atmospheres, the atmospheric pressure. And if it was that dense, it should be very dark on there. But when the Mariner or when the Venera probes from Russia actually landed and took pictures there, it looked like a scene out of the Arizona desert. It was well lit, and you could see mountain ranges, two or three mountain ranges in the distance, on top of a plateau.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm. Do we think that Valiant Thor is still around here? If they live for a couple hundred years, whatever, maybe we'll, if we survive the current genocide, a little humor, we might even end up living that long. Ideally speaking, we should be able to, but it's not in the cards with our current diet and all the pollution and contamination that we have spewed all over our home planet here. We've ruined it. We really are not good caretakers. When you destroy your own home, how dumb does that make you? I guess that's another way to phrase it. Pretty dumb. And we've really ruined this one. So, I mean, utterly exploited it. So what do we think about Valiant Thor and his other people? Did he ever say how many Venusians, human Venusians there were? Were there any ever population comments made by Thor?
Oh, yes. He said that they originally come from a planet called Norka in the Tau Ceti star system, and that they have adapted to conditions on Venus over countless millennia, that the civilization is underground. And he said that there's about a population, sustainable population there of about 5 million.
Uh-huh.
And they're largely in these played-out lava tubes, which are really great because they have an extensive network of transportation underground and so forth, and hydroponic towers and everything they need to sustain a very wonderful form of life.
Well, do these parallel the tubes on Mars? Are we talking about the same kind of underground tubes? Some of them are quite large. Martian tubes look to me to be artificial or synthetic. They don't look to be like lava tubes. They're tubes, and they look like they were constructed as tubes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. And there are these. There are both natural and artificial tubes, and we even see evidence of these on the surface of the moon. primarily on the back side. They were photographed as early with the first photos taken by the Ranger mm-hmm. probes in the late 50s and early 60s. But we know about the existence of cities and structures on the moon, Mars, Ceres. There's been lights, like searchlights in craters on Ceres, which is a planetoid between in the asteroid belt between Mars and Jupiter. And there's all these strange lights that are stationary and but pulsating in the craters there, and they've been photographed and everything. But in answer to your question about the Venusians actually living among us, Dr. Frank Strages formed his inner circle, and frequently some of these space entities were seen at these meetings, and their names are actually given. They were actually identified. He had a spiritual team chart, and he has the delegates from Earth and then from space. So he has Yo from Sector 4C Andromeda, Unaya from the Gold Star planet on the rim of the universe, Teal mm-hmm. from the planet Venus, Berean Layal from the distant moon of Jupiter, Sonrael from the white planet, Elea Dorena from the planet Utra. And so he's got a list of all these.
Where is the planet Utra?
It's somewhere in the Crab Nebula, uh-huh. in the vicinity of the Crab Nebula. So these people would be in attendance at these meetings in disguise as human beings, and then when the minutes were made, they weren't really made public, but fortunately I was able to get these copies of it. And
wow, very good. All right, hold on, Ray. I got to take a break, but I've got just got from Frank Chile a link to that picture, so we'll put that up under your name.
Oh, great.
Yeah, we've got that. All right, so we'll be right back with Dr. Ray Keller in just a minute. Okay, back with Dr. Raymond Keller. So, Ray, after all these years of research and studying the really rather incredible story of Valiant Thor and his crewmates who came here and his alleged residence in the Pentagram for several years and on, where are we with all this? What's going on? Are we having more contact with them? Is it something in the UFO ET community that is known? I'm not hearing anything. So paint me a picture of where we are.
Oh, yes. Reports of contact and sighting of Valiant Thor and other extraterrestrials that live among us are growing, and people are becoming less hesitant to talk about these experiences. Of course, Paul Hillier, the prime minister, defense minister from Canada during the Pearson administration.
Well, he was the Secretary of Defense up there, the top guy.
Right. Even he has come out and he said that there's at least 80 different species of extraterrestrials that are living and working among us, and sometimes they're they come into cities like Las Vegas, they look pretty much like we do. And if there's any differences, they can easily hide that with the clothing that they're wearing, and they're here. And there's no doubt about it. I mean, astronauts have come out and said that they know about it. That there's a secret space program, as like Mr. Tompkins has reported on. This is sure. Very real.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. Are we? Are we going
Dr.
to get
Dr. Wernher von Braun? He said that we were getting information and assistance in the early 1950s, and that there's actually two types of space programs: one for the public consumption with glorified Roman candles, i.e., rockets, and another kind with anti-gravitational devices. So I wrote that one series on Phantoms and Monsters there about anti-gravity propulsion. It's like 20 parts, right. Over 20 parts, and talks about all the corporations, names of people and entities and scientific organizations that were contracted to not only make theoretical designs, but to actually build these devices, and photographs of them and everything.
So, what do you think? We're going to have a breakthrough at some point, or is this just going to drag on with more of the same? I mean, these are very volatile times now. Do you think that they might unleash the? I think they're looking personally for a big misdirection event and a fake ET invasion or fake ET contact, like it hasn't already happened. Anything that could be used, that's one of them. Another one is this issue of a possible asteroid impact. We're seeing volcanism all around the planet now on the upswing. Earthquakes. We're seeing radical climate change. We're seeing all kinds of things, but under it all is this terrible fake virus and killer bioweapon vaccine that is being used to apparently lay waste to the first world in the West, at any rate. It's a very difficult time. Do you think that there's going to be a point at which they just give up and say, all right, here it is, they're here? What do you think?
Well, I think they've been running us around in circles about the UFO anyway, because back on the 16th of January of 1949, when Project Sign concluded and issued their report on UFOs, Project Sign and Project Grudge were predecessors to Project Blue Book that came about in 1952. But in the Project Sign report, it said that there's a definite technology behind the UFOs, or behind the flying saucers, was the term they used back then. There's a definite technology, but we're not prepared to say that it comes from another planet. And then, interestingly, on the 25th of June of this year, when the report was issued on the UFO investigation, Department of Defense, they said the exact same thing. So it's 70 plus years, and nothing has changed. But they did admit that there is a technology, an advanced technology behind what they now call UAPs, unidentified aerial phenomena. But they're not prepared to admit that it's extraterrestrial in origin.
I don't know why they're playing games with UFO is perfectly fine. They're just confusing people with UAP. Well, why? We got UFOs and USOs. We don't need UAPs. I don't know how you feel about it, but that's my take.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I agree. I don't even think they needed to change the name of Flying Saucers, frankly. That was good enough, although it's not representative of the wide variety of craft that are out there, but it has a certain it brings to mind the extraterrestriality of the objects in the mind of the public. Maybe that's why they switched to UFOs back in 1952 with Captain Ruppelt.
Sure. How would you judge the American public now? They've been beaten up for nearly 2 years with this whole virus horror. How would they react to an admission or just a flat statement of fact that we are being visited, we're not alone? I mean, come on, everybody knows it, and I don't need the government to tell me anything to believe, thank you. But how do you think the public would react now?
I think they'd realize that they're here for a reason, and the reason is that we are in very perilous times because we're experimenting with powers that are far beyond anything that we could reasonably control with the technology that we have. They're trying to work in the background and to pull our chestnuts out of the fire, so to speak, and they have done that in the past. But when you look at all the kind of secret projects that we kind of have an inkling of, experimenting with cross dimensions, like the CERN over there in Switzerland, with quarks, a different kind of energy that we definitely can't control. Then we have the HARP messing around with the weather and the climate systems, and then of course people
constantly
experimenting with all kind of plagues and things. I mean, when you read the Bible, it's like the Bible pages of the Bible are coming alive, like the pale horse, you know, in the Book of Revelations is plagues and pestilence, and that's unleashed on the world. So this stuff is real. I think we're really in the latter days, and angels and aliens, like Billy Graham said, they're one and the same thing.
Okay. Are they going to help us? Or are they going to sit back and watch?
I think they are going to help us.
But we need help.
Yes. In Billy Graham's book, Angels, God's Secret Agents, on page 21, that's 1975, he wrote that book. He said that he didn't see a difference between angels and aliens, and he wouldn't be surprised if angels were arriving on Earth in flying saucers. And in fact, that's just what the message of Dr. Frank E. Stranges was, who brought the whole Valiant Thor case to the world's attention in the first place.
If they don't intercede, there are enormous changes in the works. And I'm not sure if there's some galactic rule that prevents intercession or interference or help, however you want to look at it. What do you think? Is there? We've all heard this before. Is there anything in the Frank Strange's literature or even about Valiant Thor that says it's hands off, we really can't do anything much?
Well, they have to respect our sovereignty, but they will intervene where it's going to affect the balance of the solar system or beyond. If it's going to affect others, then they'll intervene.
Do you have a welcome sign painted on your roof or hurry?
Well, yeah, that's something that's very interesting because Annabelle Krebs, otherwise known as Lady Columba, she was a contactee in the 1950s. That's what she said. We ought to all put out a sign, welcome space friends.
No, wouldn't bother me any.
Oh, yeah, anything would be an improvement.
I agree. All right, now we've got, I'm going to add this PDF. You've got a nice piece you've done on the life and times of Dr. Frank Stranges, part one. I'll be posting that under Ray's name here momentarily. Tell us more about Frank Stranges. There are a lot of people listening who don't know. That's Strange with an S on the end, Stranges.
Oh, yes, it's an Italian name. His father and mother came from Italy, and they settled in New York, and yeah. His father became very ill, and he was healed through the ministrations of Assembly of God Church, so he became very active in the Assembly of God, independent branches of the Assembly of God, and went out with Dr. Frank Stranges went out with his father and began the preaching work and so forth. He attended the Northeastern Bible College and in Pennsylvania in 1945 for a year, and the North Central Bible College in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and graduated from there in 1951. That's him in Minneapolis in that picture there in the first the first article in that series. And a lot of people tried to challenge him at every turn and, you know, falsely charge him with crimes, or saying that he didn't have these certificates, but he actually did. He had numerous Doctor of Divinity awards. Mm-hmm. He attended a Faith Bible College and Theological Seminary in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. He also had certificates in criminology and so forth, and served as a private investigator. He had a Doctor of Humanities in the Far East Graduate Theological Seminary in Macau, over in Asia, and he founded various churches and temples, Maranatha Temple in Boston, Massachusetts, the New Age Cathedral in Los Angeles. He did radio programs. There was a program called Voice of Truth that was broadcast in at least four or five different states. So as a writer, too, he wrote that book, Flying Saucerama. Lots of great photos in there by August C. Roberts, who is the one who took the pictures of the meeting at the Howard Menger Farm that we have posted on your site. And so he, and then of course he wrote to Stranger at the Pentagon, and a lot of people don't know that he also produced a film called Phenomena 7.7. That was a 16mm color documentary, and 7.7 represents the amount of sightings that remained in the category of truly unidentified in Project Blue Book. So that's how he got the name for that. And then he did a television series in Southern California in the 60s called Flying Saucers Here and Now.
I may have seen one of those. They're probably on YouTube.
Yeah, I think you can get some of them, and I have a friend in Canada who is in the inner circle, and he filmed some of the meetings and posted those on YouTube. He sponsored Dr. Strange's visit and lectures up in Canada. So Dr. Stranges was president of the International Evangelism Crusades Incorporated in Van Nuys, the National Investigations Committee on UFOs, and he was a friend of Donald E. Kehoe of NICAP, a retired Marine Corps major and a pilot who became the director of NICAP.
How do we feel about Don Kehoe now? Excuse the interruption, but I'm just curious. How has UFO history treated Donald Kehoe? Hero? Villain?
Hero, because he was very strict in his interpretation of the UFO phenomena. He did believe they were extraterrestrial, but he didn't believe that that they had ever landed or gotten out and spoke to anybody, which was kind of didn't make any sense to me or Coral or Jim Lorenzen over at APRO, the Aerial Phenomena Research Organization. But he did document a lot of sightings, and he had his an in with pilots and military personnel, and he did a lot to bring the subject to the public's attention. It was after Kehoe left, though, that a lot of the echelon in NICAP were discovered to be
plants.
In various intelligence agencies.
Of course.
Most notably the CIA, NSA, and other organizations, and but they didn't really get to APRO. I was a member of APRO, and Dr. Leo Sprinkle, who is their scientific consultant.
He was a fine fellow, wasn't he?
Yes, he was really great, and he wrote the introduction to my first book on Venus Rising.
Nice. I had him on the program here 25 years ago. I don't know, a long time ago. Just once. Good man. Nice.
APRO realized that these objects were manned. And you know that they were actually living among us. And in my latest book, Flying Saucers and the Venus Legacy, I explore the foundations of APRO, and when they were first organized in Sturgeon Bay, Wisconsin, and I found a lot of information about the friendship that the Lorenzens with George Adamski, and also with the various contingent of ufologists from Brazil, that photographer and reporter from O Cruzeiro magazine, which is the largest magazine circulated in Brazil in the early 1950s, they took the first photo, authenticated photo of a flying saucer, and they were also with George Adamski at Mount Palomar on the 7th and 8th of August, when some of our Venusian friends made an appearance there as well.
Very good. If you look on the right-hand side of the homepage, scroll down, and you'll see in green Dr. Raymond Keller, Ph.D., and you'll see a cover of one of his earlier books. I'll put the new book cover up there, actually, is what I'll do. And there are former programs with Ray you can listen to. lots of illustrations and things to see. Fun stuff. He's quite an authority. A real treasure, as they say, in the field. And you're again appearing when? This weekend?
Yes, I'll be in Richwood, West Virginia from 1 to 3 p.m. at the Metaphysical Bookstore. It's a small, it's a very small town. It's at 43 Oakford, and it's going to be the grand opening of that bookstore. And then I'll be in Hutchinson, Kansas on the 20th of November to talk about the Corindorians and John W. Dean and his encounters with extraterrestrials in Nickerson, Kansas, which is not far from Hutchinson. And then I will be on the 11th of December from 1 to 3. These are all Saturdays from 1 to 3. I'll be up in Green Bay, Wisconsin at the main library to talk about the beginnings of APRO in the state of Wisconsin.
Very good. Well, you're staying awfully busy, Ray. This is good. Keep the word out there. Keep at it. And thank you for stopping by. Congratulations on the new book. I'm going to put that up on that right-hand side special section we have for you. So that'll be...
Oh, thank you, Jeff. Thank you very much.
My pleasure. Keep up the good work, and we'll talk again soon. Have a good weekend.
Yes.
A lot of fun.
Okay. Thank you. You too.
All right. Very good. Dr. Raymond Keller, Ph.D. Venus. Venus. Don't forget about Venus. Okay. Back with more in just a few.